Mahabharata, Chapter 55. Bhishma Wrecks Havoc. On the third day, the Kurus formed their troops into the Garuda Vyuha, shaped like the divine eagle with outspread wings. On the neck of the eagle stood Bhishma, and its two eyes were Drona and Kritavarma. At its head stood Ashvatthama and Kripa, backed by the Matsya, Kekaya, and Vatadana armies. Other armies made up its two wings and back. Duryodhan, with all his followers, were its center and tail. In opposition to the Kurus, the Pandavas countered with a formation in the shape of a crescent, its points toward the enemy. Bhima stood at the right point, surrounded by many kings. Jastadumna and the immense Panchala army formed its middle. Behind was Yudhisthira, protected by Satyaki and numerous other chariot fighters. Arjuna stood at the left point with Ghatotchaka and his awful Rakshasa troops. Once again the two armies closed to the sound of countless drums and conch shells. They resembled two clouds merging in the heavens. As soon as they met, the great slaughter began again. Urged on by Krishna, Arjuna displayed his full prowess. He seemed like the destroyer himself at the end of creation. Many heroes, hoping to win glory and with death as their goal, came before Arjuna as he let loose his shafts. They fell by the thousands. Arjuna carved a path through the Kauravas. Fearing that Arjuna might destroy his entire force in one day, Duryodhan commanded his generals to surround the Pandava. Coming upon him from all sides, they hurled their bright lances, darts, clubs, maces, pikes, battle axes, mallets, and arrows. Smiling in the midst of the downpour of weapons, Arjuna quickly checked them with his arrows. At the same time, he maintained his attack on his assailants. In the sky, the celestials were astonished by his extraordinary lightness of hand, and they praised him loudly. As Arjuna engaged with the Kuru chiefs, other Pandava heroes also attacked the Kauravas. Yudhisthira and the twins fought furiously, driving back the Kuru forces with their incessant showers of arrows. Bhima and Ghatotchaka, father and son, performed terrible feats of valor. Clenching his teeth in fury, Duryodhan challenged Bhima. The Pandava at once fired an iron arrow at him. Struck on the chest, Duryodhan collapsed on the floor of his chariot. His charioteer quickly carried him away, and all the troops supporting him broke and fled. As Bhima, Ghatotchaka, Yudhisthira, and the twins fought together, Abhimanyu joined them. At the same time, Arjuna continued his attack on the king surrounding him. Thus the Pandava warriors assailed the Kauravas like a tempest tearing into a forest. Although both Bhishma and Drona tried to rally their fleeing forces, they were unsuccessful. Duryodhan returned to his senses and again stood in his chariot. Seeing the commotion, he called out to his panic-stricken soldiers, "Where will you go, foolish men, leaving behind your fame? Do not act like eunuchs. The fight has hardly begun. While I am still standing and while Bhishma and Drona are our leaders, how will we not gain victory? Turn back and fight." The warriors stopped, shamed. Desiring to exhibit their prowess, they turned back toward the Pandavas. Rallied, the huge Kaurava army resembled a sea surging at full moon's tide. Again they rushed toward the foe. Duryodhan rode over to Bhishma. "O grandfather, O descendant of Bharata, please hear my words." Bhishma lowered his bow and looked across at the agitated prince. It was obvious that Duryodhan was angry and trying to control the harshness in his voice. "O scion of the Kuru race, I do not consider the Pandavas to be a match for you. When you are fighting, backed by Drona, Kripa, and Ashvatthama, and so many other Maharatas, how is it possible that my troops are flying from the battle? Surely you are favoring the Pandavas. Therefore forgive them for this slaughter of our men. O king, you should have told me before the battle began that you would not fight the Pandavas. I could have then consulted with Karna and decided what needed to be done. O best of men, if I do not deserve to have you abandon me, then fight to the utmost of your power." Bhishma laughed, angry in return. O king, have I not told you on so many occasions that the Pandavas are invincible? I will nevertheless do whatever I am capable of doing. See now my power in battle. In the sight of all, I will chastise the Pandavas with their troops and kinsmen. Duryodhan clenched his fist and smiled. He ordered drums and conches to be sounded. As the sun began its descent toward the west, Bhishma advanced toward the Pandavas, flanked by the best of the Kauravas. Seeing the Kauravas returning to battle, roaring and beating their drums, the Pandavas cheered and blew their conches in reply. The fight continued. Warriors on both sides fell again like ripe ears of corn in a field. The brave shouts of thousands of fighters merged together and sounded like a roaring sea. Cries of, "Stand your ground! Strike! Turn back! On your guard! Here I am!" were everywhere, and the stench of blood filled the air. The warriors could hardly traverse the battlefield. It was so thick with corpses. Strewn with colored armor, turbans, and ornaments, the field appeared as beautiful as the autumn sky at night. Though mortally wounded, warriors were seen to rush upon their enemies with pride. Others who lay dying called out to their loved ones, "O father, O brother, O uncle, do not abandon me." In some places, headless trunks ran about wildly, blood spurting from their severed necks. In accord with his promise to Duryodhan, Bhishma wrought a terrible havoc on the battlefield. His bow was constantly drawn to a circle. Virulent arrows sped in all directions and cut down warriors by the thousands. The blazing shafts never missed their aim. The old Kuru chief trained his weapons on all the principal Pandava heroes, calling them by name as he fired. His chariot made wondrous motions as it careened about. It seemed as if he was everywhere at once, and he left a trail of destruction in his wake. Everyone who saw him considered that he had somehow multiplied himself a thousandfold by the power of illusion. None could look at him. All they could see was an endless stream of arrows leaving his bow. The Pandavas and their allies gave way to lamentation. Any Kshatriya brave enough to encounter Bhishma was immediately dispatched to death's abode. Whoever came near him was seen at that moment to fall to the ground. With a single long arrow, he pierced three or four men seated on the back of an elephant. And with another shaft, he slew the elephant itself. Horsemen and infantry were swept away like leaves blown by a gale. The Pandava army trembled and gave way, fleeing in all directions. They were so completely routed that no two persons were seen together. With cries of "Oh!" and "Alas!" they scattered in fear. Many men with disheveled hair and clothes were seen running away in terror, throwing aside their weapons and armor. Even the Pandava chiefs were confounded by Bhishma's prowess. Seeing their confusion, Krishna halted Arjuna's chariot and said, "O foremost of men, strike Bhishma alone. He alone is dispersing your army. Take action, or everything will be lost. O hero, formerly in the assembly of kings you said, 'I will kill all the Kaurava warriors headed by Bhishma and Drona.' O Bibhatsu, O son of Kunti, chastiser of foes, make good on your words. Stand before Bhishma. He appears today like the destroyer himself, with his mouth open wide to consume all things." Arjuna looked around at the annihilation. Even though it was his own army being destroyed, he was nevertheless filled with admiration and joy. Bhishma's power in battle was incomparable. But he had a duty to perform. Bhishma had sided with Duryodhan. Thinking of the Kaurava prince again, incited Arjuna's anger. "Plunge through this sea of hostile troops, O Keshava, and take my chariot to Bhishma. Today I will throw down that invincible warrior." Krishna at once urged on the silver-white horses, and the brilliant chariot sped, unobstructed, toward Bhishma. Seeing Arjuna coming to face Bhishma, the rest of the Pandava army was heartened and rallied back to the fight. Bhishma saw Arjuna approach and he roared like a lion. He immediately covered him with countless shafts. In a moment, Arjuna's chariot with its standard and charioteer became invisible beneath a curtain of arrows. Krishna fearlessly and patiently maneuvered the chariot out from under the arrows. As he emerged, Arjuna fired four straight-flying shafts from the Gandiva and cut apart Bhishma's bow. Bhishma, angry, took up another bow and strung it in an instant. Without delay, Arjuna cut the new bow to pieces with razor-headed arrows. Bhishma praised him, calling out, "O Partha, O son of Pandu, well done, well done! I'm pleased with you for this wonderful feat. Now fight your hardest with me." Bhishma whirled around in his chariot and appeared with yet another bow. He shot large number of shafts at Arjuna, but Krishna, by his expert driving, baffled them all. The chariot went around in swift circles, with Arjuna moving about to keep his arrows aimed at Bhishma. Both Arjuna and Krishna were wounded, and they both resembled angry bulls scratched by one another's horns. Laughing loudly, Bhishma again covered his foe with arrows on all sides. Even Krishna was astonished by his skill and power. Seeing Arjuna's chariot swamped, Drishtadyumna rushed to his aid, accompanied by a large number of troops. He released volleys of powerful shafts, which distracted Bhishma from his attack on Arjuna. At the same time, the twins hurled their weapons at him. Arjuna, freed from Bhishma's assault, sent countless arrows back at him, and the king supporting him. Other Kuru fighters rode up to assist Bhishma, and gradually the fight between all the warriors became a general conflagration. As the two armies clashed, the sun pursed its course to the western hills. Once again the conches blew, and the soldiers lowered their weapons. Slowly they withdrew from the field. Both sides had suffered heavy losses, but the Pandavas had been particularly afflicted by Bhishma's prowess. As rakshasas and carnivorous beasts and birds descended on the battlefield, the troops rested for the third night, exhausted from the day's fighting. Dhritarashtra was cheered by the report of the third day of battle. It seemed that even Arjuna and Krishna together could not check Bhishma when he fought with fury. And there was also the mighty Drona, who was perhaps even more powerful than Bhishma. What to speak of Kripa, Ashvatthama, and the other Maharatas? Even if the Pandavas somehow managed to overpower Bhishma, there was still Karna waiting on the sidelines to come into the battle. And he would not have been fighting, so his strength would be fresh. Things looked promising for the Kauravas. The old king looked forward with hope to the fourth day. On the fourth morning, Arjuna arranged the Pandava forces in a vyuha shaped like an alligator. From a distance, it looked like a mass of clouds. On the other side, the Kauravas arranged a counter-array and moved toward their foe. As the two armies came together, the earth shook. The chief fighters of the two sides clashed, while the infantry fought hand to hand on the ground. Once again, a great din arose. The Pandavas had been cheered by Krishna after their battering at Bhishma's hands, and they fought with renewed vigor. Arjuna fought with Bhishma and kept him at bay, while Drishtadyumna and the other great fighters slaughtered many enemy kings with their forces. Thinking of his vow to slay Dhritarashtra's sons, Bhima began to search them out. As he ranged across the earth, causing destruction, he came across Duryodhan's chariot. Drawing up his own chariot at a distance, he smiled as he saw Duryodhan's many brothers surrounding their king. Here was his chance to finish them all. Duryodhan saw Bhima facing him. The two enemies glared at one another for a moment. Then Bhima took up his mace, roared, and raced toward Duryodhan. With a wave of his gloved hand, Duryodhan ordered a large division of elephants to charge the advancing Bhima. Licking his lips and whirling his iron mace, Sakya, Bhima, leapt from his chariot. He ran straight at the company of elephants with his mace held high. Careering around, he smashed the elephants and brought them down one after another. The elephant warriors could not approach the circling firebrand. Even his terrible shouts made the huge beasts stop in their tracks and tremble. Behind Bhima came Abhimanyu and Draupadi's sons, as well as Drishtadyumna and the twins. They all fired razor-headed arrows, which beheaded the fighters on the elephants. The riders appeared like trees on a mountain with their tops cut off. The leader of the elephant division, Maghadaraj, goaded his mount toward Abhimanyu. The immense beast resembled Aravata, Indra's elephant carrier. Unperturbed, Abhimanyu shot a long iron arrow, which hit the elephant between the eyes, penetrating him deep so that only the arrow's feathers showed. As the beast fell like a mountain toppling, Abhimanyu fired another arrow, which took off the head of its royal rider. Bhima continued annihilating the elephants with mace blows. He felled them with a single stroke, and they dropped down with their heads broken open. Others had their tusks, backs, and legs broken. They fell, vomiting blood and screaming. Bhima moved among them like Lord Shiva wielding his Pinaka weapon. The Pandava looked exactly like that mighty god dancing his wild dance of destruction at the end of the cosmic age. His mace, stained with blood and fat, whizzed through the air with a roar like the ocean. Like clouds driven in a tempest, the elephant forces broke and fled. Surrounded by the carcasses of the hundreds that were slain, Bhima looked like Rudra, standing in the middle of a cremation ground. He roared repeatedly, his eyes red, looking about for more enemies. Duryodhan foamed at the mouth. He screamed out to his troops, "Kill Bhima!" All the forces supporting Duryodhan turned and rushed toward Bhima, who smiled grimly as they charged. The advancing army came like a tidal wave toward him, but Bhima stood firm to meet them. The other Pandava warriors flanking Bhima blew their conches and roared along with him. All of them joyfully met the charging Kauravas with volleys of weapons. They were like the seashore resisting the surging ocean. Bhima alone checked the leading Kauravas by ranging about with his mace. He again created confusion among his foes. They looked on him as if he were the immovable Mount Meru. None of their weapons affected him at all. Most were knocked to the ground by his mace, and those that struck him he shrugged off. Headed by Bhima, the Pandava forces crushed the Kaurava army like an elephant crushing a cluster of reeds. With one blow from his mace, Bhima would destroy a chariot, along with its charioteer and the warrior fighting on its terrace. As he roved about like a tornado, the Kaurava soldiers turned their eyes away from him in utter horror. Surrounded by his many brothers, Duryodhan roared out a challenge. With a grim smile, the Pandava glared at him. Seeing the prince and his brothers mounted on chariots, Bhima quickly signaled to his charioteer to bring over his own chariot. Jumping aboard, he rushed at his foes. As Bhima approached them, Duryodhan and his brother Nandaka fired arrows at him, wounding both Bhima and Vishok, his charioteer. They cut Bhima's bow apart, and it fell in pieces to the floor of his chariot. Unable to tolerate their attack, Bhima took up another bow, as tall as a man. Releasing an arrow fitted with a horseshoe head, he cut apart Duryodhan's buffalo horn bow. Excited to the highest pitch of his anger, Duryodhan took hold of another bow from the many lying in his chariot. He instantly fired at Bhima a long hammer-headed arrow that resembled a bludgeon. It blazed through the air and struck Bhima full on the chest. Rendered senseless by the blow, Bhima fell to his knees for some moments. The Pandava forces supporting Bhima poured upon Duryodhan a relentless shower of arrows. As the Kaurava warded off the attack, Bhima regained his senses and sent up a shout. He quickly pierced Duryodhan with 8 swift shafts. As Duryodhan's brothers converged on him, he licked the corners of his mouth like a hungry wolf. 14 of Dhritarashtra's sons surrounded him at once and hurled countless arrows and other weapons at his chariot. Laughing amid their furious assault, Bhima swiftly fixed razor-headed shafts onto his bow. Sending the arrows to all sides with deadly accuracy, he cut off his opponent's heads one after another. Duryodhan looked on helplessly as his brothers were slain like a herd of deer killed by a lion. Their beautiful helmeted heads, adorned with golden earrings, rolled in the mud. In a short time, all 14 were killed, and the rest of the brothers had turned and fled. Bhishma came up to Duryodhan to support him, and he shouted commands to the army. Bhima is wantonly slaying the king's sons, although they are accomplished in arms and courageous. Quickly fight with the son of Pandu, before he annihilates all our princes. The battle soon became general, as the warriors of both sides came together, matching their prowess and their weapons. As evening approached, another great carnage was wrought among the Kauravas by Ghatotchka and his Rakshasa followers, whose strength increased with the onset of night. Seeing his troops receiving the worst of the fight, Bhishma blew his conch and ordered the army to withdraw. As the afflicted Kaurava forces left the battlefield, the victorious Pandavas cheered. Ashamed and dispirited, the Kauravas went back to their encampment. On their side, the Pandavas, cheerful despite their wounds, returned to the camp with Bhima and Ghatotchka at their head. They praised and worshipped the two heroes who had caused such destruction among the Kauravas.